Winks, wobbles and blips sound more like sound effects from a science fiction film than genuine scientific terms. But these are actually the three main ways that scientists find planets out in space. Mira met up with the Open University's Carol Haswell to find out more.
What we're doing is just presenting the methods that are used to find planets around other stars. So obviously, we're very familiar with the planets in our own solar system, and we've known about those for a long time. We can see them quite easily because they're bathed in light from the sun. Now, to see a planet around another star is much more difficult because the star itself is very bright, so we can't see the planets around another star directly, just as we can't see the planets in our own solar system when it's daytime, when the sun is up.
So what are the techniques?
Okay, well, there's three techniques, and we've actually given them nicknames, and the three nicknames are wobbles, winks, and blips.
Okay.
So probably the simplest way to understand is the winks method. That works if the planet around another star is lined up, so it actually happens to pass in front of the star from our line of sight here on the Earth. And we see this phenomenon in our own solar system. If Mercury passes between us and the sun, we observe a transit, and there was a transit of Mercury quite recently, just a few years ago. Exoplanets, too, can transit, and when that happens, the planet is opaque, so it blocks some of the light that the star's emitting. So an astronomer looking at that star would see it appear to get dimmer by a percent or so, and the transit would last typically for about 3 or 4 hours. So what we do is we actually look at as many of the stars in the sky as we can, and we measure their brightness roughly every 10 minutes and do that for the whole of the time that the star is visible in the sky, so for months, every night that it's clear.
That's a lot of measurement.
It's a huge amount of measurement. So a lot of the challenge in the project has not been the principle of it. It's quite easy to detect a 1% dip in the brightness of a star, but it's in managing the huge amount of data to find, you know, the needle in the haystack, the few stars, you know, where there is a planet that is suitably aligned to execute a transit.
So what's the wobbles technique?
The wobbles technique has actually been historically the most successful way of finding planets around other stars. And the way it works is if you've got a star and a planet, you think about the planet orbiting around the star. But in fact, it's a little bit more subtle than that because the planet has mass and the star has mass. So in fact, both the star and the planet are orbiting around their common center of mass. And the way to understand what the center of mass is to think of a seesaw. So in order to make the seesaw work, you need to balance the people on the two ends of the seesaw. If you now imagine a sumo wrestler and a small child on a seesaw...
Not quite balanced.
Not quite balanced. And in order to balance it, you would have to move the sumo wrestler very close to the pivot point of the seesaw. So if you did that, you would find a balance point with the sumo wrestler sitting practically on top of the pivot and the small child at a large distance from the pivot. And the pivot is actually the centre of mass of the sumo wrestler and the child. The planet and the star are very similar. The planet has much less mass than the star, so the pivot point, or the centre of mass, is very, very close to the star. So the planet has a large orbit, which is why we think of the planet orbiting around the star, but nonetheless, the star has a small orbit. It's moving, too, around the common centre of mass, just as the sumo wrestler on the seesaw is moving slightly up and down. So astronomers can see stars, and they can measure their motion, and they measure it by something that's called the Doppler effect, which is an effect when something is moving towards you, if it's emitting waves, as it moves towards you, the waves get squashed up. As it's moving away from you, the waves get stretched out. So with light, this has the effect of changing the colour of the light. So as the star is executing its small orbit, like the sumo wrestler, some of the time it's moving towards you and the light is red-shifted. Some of the time it's moving away from you and the light is blue-shifted. And by studying that shift, astronomers can see how big the circle it is that the star is moving around in its orbit. And that then allows you to work out the mass of the planet that it's in orbit with, just as if you looked at your seesaw and measured the distance of the sumo wrestler from the pivot and measured the distance of the small child from the pivot, that would allow you to work out their relative masses. So the wobbles method allows you to detect a planet and to measure its mass. So if you detect a planet that executes a wink, you know not only the radius of the planet, but you know the orientation of the orbit. So if you then measure the Doppler shift and apply the wobbles method, you then can know the mass of that planet exactly, as well as knowing its radius. If you know the mass and the radius, you can measure the density. And if you know the density, that gives you a good idea of what the planet is made of.
That's a great amount of information to be able to deduct.
It is, considering you can't see the planet at all. And for me, that's what science is all about, applying the sort of the ingenuity of human thought to solving problems and learning things, learning as much as you can.
So what is the third and final method?
The third and final method is the method of gravitational microlensing, and we've given it the nickname BLIPS. And this method depends on the fact that mass curves space, and this is something that was discovered by Einstein when he developed his theory of general relativity. So all of the stars in our galaxy are actually moving, and they're moving sort of roughly in orbit around the centre of the galaxy, but they're not orbiting in a very organised way. So that means, from our perspective, a distant star and a less distant star will sometimes happen to line up exactly. And when that occurs, the light from the more distant star is actually travelling through the space that's been curved by the mass of the foreground star. So the curved space acts like a lens on the background star's light. This gravitational lensing effect magnifies the light from the background star and makes it appear brighter. So it takes about a month for the two stars to come into alignment and then drift out of alignment again. And during the course of that month, if you were watching that bit of sky, you would see the star appear to get steeply brighter, reaching a peak when the alignment is exact, or as exact as it's going to get, and then it declines again as they drift out of alignment.
So then how does this enable you to see the planets going around those stars?
If the foreground star, the one that's acting as a lens, has a planet, and one of the images of the background star that's being lensed by the curved space passes close to the planet, then the planet too has mass. So the planet too curves space and adds its own smaller lensing effect. And then you'd see an additional little sharp blip that actually brightens very dramatically and then returns back down to the smoother curve over the timescale of about a day. And when you see that very characteristic blip, you know that there must be a planet around the foreground lensing star. And from various characteristics, how bright it is, how quick it is, you can work out properties such as the mass of the planet and how far it is from its host star.
How many planets using all these methods have you managed to find so far?
So far, in total, we know of about 300 planets around other stars. They're being found at a tremendous rate. We really are beginning to find these planets quite quickly because the methods are now all tried and tested and groups of astronomers are organised to implement them efficiently.
That was Carol Haswell giving Mira a lesson in planet spotting. Carol did tell us that since she met up with Mira, the number of planets found could actually have gone up to between 350 and 400. So clearly, these methods are working very well. Diana.